This episode of the Oh No 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 podcast is sponsored by Dynamic Industrial Services, the rope access specialists. As long-time Wraith Rover supporters, we are very familiar with ropey performances. But if you need a service that's more Sam Stanton than Willie Accio, look no further than DIS. Operating across Scotland, they specialise in working at height, offering maintenance, inspection, repairs and more. So if you've got a problem at a height that even John Fredrickson can't reach, visit dynamicindustrialservices.co.uk to find out more.
Welcome to the Oh No 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 podcast. Now, tonight we've got a very special edition of the podcast. It was a cold Wednesday night, but 2,200 people still managed to find their way down to Starks Park to celebrate a modern Wraith Rovers legend. We're of course talking about the testimonial for Lewis Vaughan, which took place on the 20th of March. Lewis is now up to, fortunately provided by Wraith TV, these stats, 247 games, 86 goals. He's the all-time Fife Derby record goal scorer with 12 years at the club, two hat-tricks, one of which we can say was just that wee bit more special. Now, his boyhood club, Hibs, came to town and the score ended 5-1 to the visitors, but in this case, it was all about the occasion rather than the game. My name's Robbie Weir. I'm delighted to be joined tonight by the woman who, peculiarly, we seem to always add in our middle name in the introductions here. We've got Carol Alison Smith. How are you, Carol?
I'm very good. It always makes me panic when I hear my full name. I think I'm in trouble, but it's okay.
Sunday references. And then we've got the only Scots-Dutch connection that we need right now, which is Mr. Scott Fleming. How are you, Scott?
Yeah, really good, mate. And as you say, it's a good time to chat everyone about Lewis Vaughan and what he's been through and what he's done for the club. So looking forward to it.
Absolutely right. And then finally, a moment of tentativeness due to the technical difficulties that we've had with Riverside. We've got Mr. Leslie Mabin. How are you, Leslie?
I've had a rubbish day with all of it involving tickets to clown institutions, two clown car outfits that cannot sell tickets. One is Dundee United, the other is Calmac Ferries. So I'm not going to Tannadice, but I am going to Tyree. So 50-50.
There's something, a joke maybe. I really hope that Calmac aren't as much of a sinking ship as Dundee United could potentially be, but that's probably something that's going to get quoted in the future. So yeah, we'll turn our attention back to Lewis's testimonial. Again, we've spoken in platitudes many, many times about how good a player he is, the experiences he's had in his career, and how much we as fans rate him. I'm going to ask you firstly, Carol, because you contribute quite regularly to the programme for the match days. Now, I know that you had a piece in for Lewis and his programme for Wednesday night. What was it like coming together and bringing that and just looking back on the experiences that you've had watching him as a player? What was that like?
It was sort of matching up the dates, because I vaguely remember that Lewis Vaughan must have started or got his first team appearance round about the time Wraith TV really kicked off. So I kind of watched him grow as Wraith TV have grown, but because before that my experience with players was kind of, I heard about them and I got a team sheet when I went back and was trying to match up the player with the number, which with my eyesight is not the best. So yeah, just getting that together and going back through all the points that I remember, like watching games, listening to the highs and lows, like those tentative moments when like you heard he was injured and thinking, oh God, not again. But yeah, for 12 years listening and watching Mr. Wraith Rovers, it's been a pleasure.
It has indeed been an absolute pleasure. I think the first time I saw Lewis play was the Queen's Park game when he came on as a substitute and he scored. As sort of, it was the Challenge Cup, I think it was, and we'd absolutely ran riot against him that day. But you could tell straight away it was a ridiculously good finish from a lad. And I think he was only 16 at the time when he did come on and score that goal. But you could just, you felt that the club had something special on their hands. And that was only sort of amplified when he had a man of the match performance against Dundee a few weeks later. Now, Scott, I'm going to ask you next. Now, in terms of the match, obviously it was played in the spirit of a testimonial. We saw Ian Murray and Colin Cameron get on. There was a lot of the young lads back on loan, maybe some of the fringe players, and a lot of the experienced lads as well getting a run out. So it was a good mix in there. I don't think people are going to look too much into the match, but I'm just going to ask you firstly, just was there any sort of standouts for you that came out of the game?
That Hibs didn't get the memo that it was a testimonial at times. It felt like Jared Tavares thought they were going to get a cup win or something last night because he was determined to prove his manager that he should be back in the Hibs team, I think. But no, I mean, it was good to see all the loan players back in terms of the fact that we've not really seen a lot of them, obviously, this season, especially like Aaron Arnott and stuff like that. But it was good to see Callum Hanna, Adam Masson, Dylan Corr all get game time, and just it just changes it up for, obviously, your week-to-week stuff. That we're seeing the same names kind of in the squad every week. But when you get to see all these boys that you're not seeing, but you want to see improvement in them. And to be fair, I must say, I actually thought from what I've seen of Callum Hanna, you can already see he's just got that little bit more confidence now. And like, yeah, for instance, he put a really nice ball over the top of their right back. I think it was Callum Smith or Easton that ran onto it. And I just thought, like, see, 6 months ago, I'm not sure Callum Hanna would even try that. Like, he was very safe. And as you should be when you're so young, just wanting to do well. But the fact that he's now out playing games at Albion Rovers and he's just gaining that little bit more confidence, that I'm hoping that, yeah, the rest of the season he keeps going and we maybe see him again in pre-season, see how he gets going, and then whether he needs another loan, I don't know. But I thought he was good. And, yeah, as I say, it was mostly for me just good to see all the young loan players back.
Yeah, I think Callum was one that probably jumped out, actually, in terms of the actual match itself. Now, I know that, as I say, we're not going to look too much into it, but there was a few standout points for me. There was one where he conceded a corner where he was a bit unfortunate. It came off the winger and then bounced off him. And he actually looked really frustrated by it. But yeah, it was quite funny with Hibs themselves, because the goalkeeper, any time he was making a save, the South Stand was booing him. And just some of the comical shouts that you get in that sort of friendly match. I'm going to turn to yourself, Leslie, now. So to speak less about the match, because I think we can move on from the actual game itself and the fixture, but more just to speak about Lewis as a player and as a person. This is more a very broad question, which is, what does Lewis Vaughan mean to you as a football fan?
Lewis Vaughan is one of these players who I think just, it's a total cliche, but, you know, epitomises the club. And I think when you look at a club and the players that play for it, the players that you want to put a statue up of outside the ground are not always the ones who've won the most medals and trophies. So I'm going to give you a wee analogy here. So a team that I've got a big soft spot for, as some of you might know from social media, is Parma in Italy. And Parma were very, very successful when I was wee. You know, they were winning trophies in Europe. And you see the videos from the late 90s, and it was just absolutely violence. But their greatest player, the guy that you're going to have as the kind of iconic player, is not Crespo or Thuram or Chiesa. It's Alessandro Lucarelli, who's the captain. And he stayed with the team when they went bankrupt down to Serie D and stayed with them all the way back up. You know, Louis Vaughan's like that for us. You know, he's a player who, had he not had the injuries he's had, he would probably have been an international player. You know, he was with us down in League One. You know, he stuck with us. We stood by him. he was with us when, you know, when we were relegated in very unfortunate circumstances. He was with us when we missed out on promotions. He's with us when we just came up short in the playoffs. And, you know, maybe he's not won as many things as some of the guys from the 90s or whenever, but just as a player who's been there through a lot of the really difficult times we've had, and through the good times as well, who's kept coming back, who's always been there and scoring the goals, and who's got that kind of, you know, iconic figure, you know, the yellow ball tucked under the arm and the three fingers. Just, you know, a figure who, as I say, just epitomises everything it is to be Raith Rovers in the modern era. And, you know, I said it before as well, when Scott Brown got that late winner against Dundee United at Stark, that was the thing I loved most. It wasn't just the goal. It was the fact that a wee bit separate from the group of players celebrating, he just had Louis Vaughan bouncing about, dancing, celebrating on his own in front of the South Stand. So just, as I say, for us, somebody who, you know, means so much and kind of sums up what it is to be a Raith Rovers player and Raith Rovers supporter.
Yeah, I can completely agree with that. It was interesting reading some of the press that's came out quite recently, because with Lewis, he's been touted by both John McGlynn and Ian Murray as, like, if what had happened hadn't happened, he would have been obviously well away from Raith Rovers and potentially in the Scotland setup. And you can understand, I think from his perspective, it must be difficult to hear that, in the sense that you're talking about your career in that sense. But at the same time, he's delivered so many moments for us as fans that I think you're absolutely right when you say him, in the sense that without a doubt the club for legends, you're obviously looking at that team back in 1994 that won the League Cup. But it's almost surreal to look at Louis Vaughan, because it's almost, because of the way that things are, I feel like he gets spoken about in higher terms than some of those players who've won the biggest competitions and been to Europe, which is a really, really interesting thing to have. Scott, I'm gonna ask the same question for you. So for you, what are your, if you had anything to say about Louis Vaughan, if you were just given carte blanche an opportunity to speak about him, what are your thoughts on him as a player and how his career's been for Raith Rovers?
Yeah, I mean, for me, he's by far been the best player that I've watched in a Rovers jersey. I mean, I was actually speaking to my dad about this, obviously knowing that Vonnie's testimonial was coming up in the next couple of weeks, and I was actually surprised to hear my dad said he actually kind of agreed with me, and I was expecting him to come out with these guys, the 90s and the 80s and stuff like that, but he went, to be honest, with the longevity and just in terms of his technical ability, he's like, Vaughan's got to be up there. And that took me a wee bit by surprise, but I think that also just goes to show that how good Vaughan has been. And as you say, like, everybody, you can't talk about Vaughan without obviously mentioning the injuries, and I'm sure he would love people to not mention the injuries, but at the same time, yeah, it's just been part of his career. And the fact that he's, both the club, as Leslie said, both the club and him have stuck by each other and always just got on with things and just knuckled down, it's a testament to him. But also you're hearing all these interviews and like players that have played with him saying like how good he is as well, and it just shows what a talent we've had and that we still have right now. And yeah, it was great to see that he got obviously his contract extension as well, and I'm just hoping that, I mean, I hope now that's him just staying with us for the rest of his career, just being greedy as a Rovers fan. But if we did get lucky enough to go up to the Premiership and just say he had a very good season next season, there might be a few clubs that go, well, he's still only 29 or 28. Why not take a punt on him, sort of thing? But no, it's just been great to see him back playing again. And just, yeah, as I say, it's, you always feel that he's going to score in a game, which is something that not a lot of strikers have had playing for us, other than maybe like Brian Graham and Kevin Nisbet. They're the only two that I would think that I went into the seasons that they were playing that, right, they're probably going to score the day. Vaughan, like, any time I speak to my mates about, like, if one of my mates is going, oh, I've put a bet on the football today or whatever, they'll go, oh, I've got Vaughan to score first. It's always Vaughan to score first. So it's just, as I say, he's been he is one of our own, as we sing about. But yeah, I think that the guy's been brilliant for us, and yeah, one of the best that I've watched in a Rovers jersey.
I think that's high praise, in particular, given that a lot of lads come in and there'll be local lads that come in and become heroes over time. But to come over from Edinburgh and the way that he's done it, and he's gradually grown up with the club, and it's just that the club in Raith Rovers Football Club and Lewis Vaughan have almost been intertwined just in terms of how things have worked and the way that things have panned out. Like, we've had our low moments, he's had his low moments, and it's almost like we've been there for each other. And again, the injuries are well recorded. We've spoken about them plenty before. But I think that there is that sort of mutual understanding between the two, that we do almost look after each other in a really nice way. And Carol, for you, just for looking for standout moments for you as well, just if you were talking about Lewis Vaughan, what for you, any standout moments?
I'm going to go the 29th of October when he got back on after his last major injury. I think just that moment, I was watching from Barcelona, but I stood on my feet and clapped, and I think everybody did. And I think it was just that look in his eyes of, this is where I want to be. He just wants to play football. That's all he wants to do, is play football. And he wants to play football for Raith Rovers. That moment on the 29th of October when he got to get back on off the bench was one of the standout moments, because you saw it there. He was back. From the very first moment he walked on that pitch, he was back.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that, again, it's one of those ones where you can tell it just means the world to the lad. And he's always just spoken about how he just wants to play football. And you can see that there is that frustration there if maybe he's not getting a run of games, or if he gets dropped to the bench and he comes on. And I'd spoken about it, like the Queen's Park game, the first one at home that we had against them, when he got dropped and then he came on as a sub and then scores two goals. But he looked absolutely fizzing while doing it. And I think that's just because he's such a professional, and how much he actually cares about having the opportunity to play football, which I think is really refreshing to see, because there's not it's very pure, I would say, in a sense. So, yeah, I don't think anyone can really dispute that. And it was great to see all the messages and all the support that he's had across the piece, particularly in the run-up to the testimonial. So, Leslie, for you, do you think it spoke volumes about Lewis Vaughan's character that you had so many ex-players just looking to get in touch with those sort of videos, just describing him in that one word?
It absolutely did. And I think the thing that really stuck out for me was Regan Hendry. So Regan Hendry came up, and I'd assumed that he was going to be sticking around and, you know, coming out the pitch. I don't think he was going to be playing, and that he was going to be hanging out. But he was on Raith TV, and he says something like, "I'm not sure if I'm going to get a chance to speak to him. I need to be back down to Liverpool, but I'm definitely going to see him." So you're thinking, he's come up all that way to do a wee bit of commentary. I think that speaks volumes about the great work that the Raith TV team do as well. He's come up all that way from the Wirral to see his pal, knowing he might not even get more than just a few seconds to kind of shake his hand and say hello, and then he's going all the way back down to try and, you know, to do his training and get ready for the weekend's game. You know, that for me just kind of sums up how much, you know, that playing alongside Louis Vaughan means to somebody like Regan Hendry, who's gone on and had a very, very good career. So you can just see from things like that the regard that everybody holds him and the respect that everybody has from him. And, you know, even I think I remember when it was one of his injuries, and we shouldn't keep talking about his injuries, but when one of the first things that happened was you started getting guys like Scott Agnew from East Fife coming on social media immediately and wishing him all the best for his recovery. You know, guys from our East Fife, who were one of our big rivals at the time. So you're just seeing things like that. You can see the respect he commands from his other professionals, not just at the Rovers, but at other clubs as well.
Fully agree. I thought it was very interesting with Regan Hendry. That's his first time back at Starks. Now, obviously, you guys will have heard a lot more when he was on the sort of co-coms with Raith TV, I'd imagine. But it actually just came across how emotional Regan Hendry was being back at Starks Park. He actually used that word quite a lot when he was doing the half-time draw, speaking with John, just talking about how much the fan support meant to him, the occasion of being there for his friend and a player of brilliant technical ability in Lewis Vaughan. But just being able to reconnect with the club and seeing all the changes that have came in into play over the last year, which is, it's great to see people like that come back and they've still got that connection. I did listen to a podcast quite a wee while ago that Regan Henry did, and he was talking about sort of his time and his experiences and how he left sort of Forest Green Rovers and going to Tranmere. And it was like he was adamant. He was like, I will go back to Raith Rovers one day and play football there. And if that comes to pass, I think that, again, you just want to see him and Lewis Vaughan play football together again, because it was just such a good combination the end of that sort of final COVID season. But yeah, just on the testimonial in general, I thought it was really, really well done. It was a good turnout. I know there was a bit of sort of talk before in terms of the ticket sales, a few fans, and I feel like people drove on, both ex-players, the club themselves, other supporters. It was a really nice tribute from the guys up in the Lewis Vaughan Supporters Club to have the sort of banner that the stewards tried to tell them that it wasn't legal and promptly got shut down because there was no way that anyone was going to stop those lads from having that banner up there, because if there's one person that deserves it in that football club, for all the respect and treatment and the moments that Lewis Vaughan's given us, certainly for me, he goes down as probably definitely my top three favourite Rovers players ever, if not the top. Just as a character, the tenacity that he's got, the technical ability, the skill, and it was just really nice to see him just be able to have an evening where he's playing against his boyhood club, guys like Lewis Stevenson, Paul Hanlon, some of the youth players at Hibs as well, coming through, and just an opportunity for him to have his moment, because it can't be overstated that for all that there's the talk of injuries, the moments that he's given us over the last 12 years, from being 16 to where he's at now, completely unforgettable, and long may it continue. And again, those 86 goals, record goal scorer in a Fife derby, that's not something to be sniffed at. That is a legacy that he can be very, very proud of, regardless of titles. Whether again, hopefully he can add a championship winner's medal and he can play in the top flight, because that's where he should be playing. He should be in the top flight of Scottish football playing. But time will tell, and hopefully the lads can kick on for the rest of the season and we can go up to Tannadice and give them a few problems. Now, before we get to some of the shenanigans, shall we say, that have been taking place up Tannadice Street, a bit of an announcement came out of the club today where there's been two new supporters liaisons officers appointed, Nicola Forrest and Craig Smith. So big congratulations to them. I've spoken to Nicola a couple of times before, just through sort of volunteer meetings, and she's always come across really well, really passionate about the club. She's volunteering, I believe, with stuff like the Rory Club and things like that. And Craig, I've interacted with a good number of times on Twitter. Again, I'll probably just extend an open invitation to them. I don't know if they listen to the podcast, but if they do want to come on at any point, very much an open door for them. If they want to come on and chat about their experiences and their roles, and just to make themselves a presence, to be known. But I'm sure you will see them about the South Stand, the main stand, and they're there to help fans keep the bridge between the club and the support, and they're there to really act as representatives for us. So there is further details on the website if you are looking for information about that. But yeah, again, as I say, an open invitation for them if they do want to come on at any point onto the podcast. Now, turn our attention now to today's big news, or last night's other news, the small asterisk that was put above last night on a rather incredible evening for Lewis Vaughan. Dundee United. Now, I am not the biggest in terms of my Nigerian slang. I am not the most phrased in my Niger. But what I will say that in Benin City and Lagos, they do have a phrase that gets used from time to time, which has recently rose to prominence thanks to the BBC, I think it was QI that it was on, where a sort of English Nigerian comedian was talking about how they use the phrase Dundee United as a phrase for being useless. Now, if I was in Benin City, I would probably be saying Dundee United are having a Dundee United right now because they are having a nuke of a time. Scott, there's obviously been this coming out now that Raith Rovers, we sold out the shed, 1,900 fans up there in December, clutching our Santa hats. There was no problems, no issues, no police presence was really needed. Fans were mixing outside. Everything seemed to be going well. And yet now we've had our allocation cut. We're still on the same end, but it's down to 1,300 fans. Now, allegedly, it's due to requirements for segregation, despite there being no issues before. Do you think it's a sign that Dundee United are worried?
They are absolutely rattled. Like, I'm sorry. The excuses that were coming out last night and this morning, they continued, of their fans going, oh, it's for this, oh, it's for that, it's police have got involved. I'm sorry, but there's a full, like, there's a gap between the stands and everything. I just don't get by any of it. And it's purely down to they heard how loud it was when Dylan Easton scored and just were like, nah, didn't fancy this. And see, since that game, I think Dundee United, as you said, everything. No, I don't think I've ever had a bad thing until this season about Dundee United, to be honest. My granddad was a season ticket holder up there for years, and like I used to go as a kid sometimes to midweek games if the Rovers weren't playing well, just because it's a game of football for me when I was younger. But like, I don't know what's gotten into them this season, but they've really been rattled by us, and we're all here for it. It's been a good laugh, but yeah, it's... it's utterly pathetic for them. Like, a club that size should not be worried about what we're doing or what we're thinking. Like, it's... And you can hear from people that have been around the club and everything that everybody at the Rovers is just like, look, we're just going about our business. We have made noise this year on social media, but it was the way that the club wanted to go and the fan base has got behind it. And, yeah, we've rattled, I would say, about 80% of the Championship teams. The only team that probably hasn't been rattled is like somebody like, I don't know, Inverness, because we've never really, other than the fact we broke the streak against them, I don't think they really care. They're that far away that they didn't really care about us. It's just like, oh,
Airdrie fans chipping up at some point.
But no, as you say, I just think it is pathetic for Dundee United, and the fact that the club were having to deal with the brunt of it, like our club were having to deal with the brunt of it today. I actually felt sorry for probably all the ladies that are working in the office, probably getting effing and jeffing and why folk aren't getting tickets and everything. It's not their fault. It's not them. We were told that we weren't selling the tickets. It was Dundee United. So it was just a joke. And I really hope that somehow they come back to going, right, we'll just give you the rest of the shed. Because I just don't see what use it's going to be for an extra, 500 seats, 600 seats that are just going to be sitting there. It makes no sense. It would have only made sense had we been in the stand behind the dugouts. That's the only way that would have made sense.
See, for me, it's all it's done is lit a match and chucked it on a bonfire for us. Because beforehand, we would have been like, yeah, great, a game up at Tannadice and we're potentially 3 points behind, potentially level on points, or a point behind. Now they've sort of lit this powder keg and every single one of those 1,300 Rovers fans is going up and they will have a duty to make as much of a racket as possible because they know they're in a very, very lucky position to be getting a ticket for that game. If they back down now, they look like they've lost. If they also keep the allocation, they look completely rattled. So it's a lose-lose situation, really, for United. I thought it was quite interesting that it almost unfolded in different stages because you had Rovers announcing it last night and everyone saying, well, this is really, really a daft decision. And the United fans, as you rightfully point out, they say, oh, well, we could be putting you in the fair play in the, what is it, the Jim McLean stand or something like that. I'm not too versed on their 18 different stand names that they've got up at Tannadice. But then after that, it becomes clear, we send out an email this morning where it's confirmed that we are in the shed and it's for policing. But then to stop Rovers fans from buying tickets in the home end, they make that their email addresses have to be on the United database. But then you've got Dundee United fans saying, I can't buy tickets now because my email's not on the database. So, Carol, there is a point at the end of this rant that I'm going on right now. Do you think it's a sign of the times that a football club in general in Scotland is just so willing to put up such obstacles and hurdles for supporters, even their own supporters, to try and cause a bit of petty chaos, shall we say?
I don't know if it's a sign of the times. It just seems to be they're being stereotypical, grumpy, old people not letting other... It's my ball and I ain't playing. That's exactly what it feels like. It's like the lady doth protest too much, methinks. It's... I've loved the competitive cartooning. Everybody has been here for it. If we can't slag each other off as fans, what are we here for? And, yeah, I think it's... The fact that they're preventing their own fans buying it is cutting off their nose to spite their face, and it's going to backfire. Because like you say, Robbie, they are damned if they do and damned if they don't now. If they don't up the allocation, it looks like they are running scared. If they do up the allocation, it looks like they were making excuses and they were scared. So, all in all, I think they're scared. And they shouldn't be. Well, they should be, because Dylan Easton's going to run rings around them. But... they think they shouldn't be. They think they're bigger than they are. They think they should have run away with this league, and now they're putting in obstacles. Especially after we opened up extra allocation for them when they've come down to us. It's a massive FU back, I think. And, yeah, it's like, come on, Scottish football's meant to be moving on and more progressive and more open for fans, and away fans are really what clubs need. And by turning fans away, I think it's a massive bad move on Dundee United's part.
Yeah, I think it doesn't come across well at all. I can understand the sort of the perspective from their side of that, right, just because you offered us one stand extra doesn't necessarily mean we need to play ball with you. But at the same time, is there really much sense in limiting an extra 600? Because you're still going to get a raucous atmosphere in that away end, whatever happens.
I don't know if you heard Alan Russell got interviewed by Kingdom FM and gave them like a soundbite. And he said, I'm not usually a fan that sings and screams, but you can guarantee on that day the 1,300 Wraith fans are going to sound like 2,000, and this is the biggest mistake you've made.
Yeah.
So that's all they've done, is they've just put fuel on the fire, because people who maybe normally wouldn't be ruckus, normally wouldn't be loud, are just going to go, right, bring it on. Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough.
100%. I think it will be very, very interesting as well, because... there's no organisation going into this one. Last time it was sort of like, okay, we've got an allocated singing section, it's down the front. This time it's just going to be a complete stramash in that support, for lack of a better phrase, because everyone's just basically grabbed the tickets they can. And I think the description was a ZX Spectrum Duncan used, and there was references to whack-a-mole about tickets appearing on their system and then disappearing seconds later. So, yeah, just a really, really surreal series of events to watch unfold for Dundee United and the Raith Rovers fans that have had to experience that. But, yeah, just in general, they really created a rod for their own back, I feel, just by limiting and turning off the sort of database. And I'm really not sure how they're going to navigate it, whether they're going to have to force fans to show up on the day to pick up tickets from their side. Because I can almost guarantee you, we put out a Twitter poll about this earlier, if they have to change and back down, you will end up with Raith Rovers fans in that home end. And nobody is going to be blamed for that other than Dundee United, in the sense that you've created a situation where there is a stand that's perfectly fine. We know it works because we filled it earlier this season. So there's definitely a bit of gamesmanship there as far as I'm concerned. But it will be very interesting to see how the next week unfolds. Leslie, I'm just going to check with you. Just much as I said there, do you feel that United have created a rod for their own back with this?
I find the whole thing actually really baffling. And I think what I find really baffling about it is that this is not a club that's like come up from League One or something. It's not like Cove Rangers finding themselves top of the Championship and suddenly wanting to create a kind of advance for themselves. This is a team that were in the Premier League last year. And, you know, they're used to dealing with big, nasty, intimidating supports. Like, let's not make any bones about it. Rangers and Celtic coming to your ground are big, nasty, intimidating supports who will try and get in the home end. And I know this because this happened to me at Starks. One of my first experiences was being 10 years old and a Rangers man screaming in my face at full time. So, you know, their fans will try and do this. So you would think they would have, you know, procedures and protocols in place to deal with situations where they maybe want to get that advantage. They want to kind of keep control of their home ends, and, you know, that's their prerogative. They're absolutely entitled to do that. They seem to have just managed to make a complete bin fire out of the whole thing, though. And I, the analogy that Duncan used in our group chat of the ZX Spectrum game is absolutely spot on, because I had a wee look to see if I could get a ticket, and you had this weird thing where there was a map of the shed. I'm like, bing, like a dot would come up for a ticket. You'd click on it and bang, it'd disappear. And bing, three other ones would come up over there and you'd try and get them. And then, you know, they would disappear as well. Eventually, I just gave up. So I don't know how a club that has the experience of selling out their ground and having opponents where they want to maybe control the numbers that are in, don't have the procedures in place to do that sensibly. Just one final point as well. I think that I noticed this in the statement that the club had put out. The fact that, you know, Dundee United were selling these tickets and we didn't have any way to ensure that our season ticket holders got first dibs on them, I think was a bit off. I think, you know, that's the kind of game where you would think that the kind of people that would have the right to have first refusal would be, you know, our season ticket holders and things like that. It seems that we didn't have any option like that to kind of control where those tickets went out. I'm sure that everybody that goes will be a great ambassador for the club and will make a racket, but it's a bit unfortunate that the way it's all panned out.
Yeah, 100%. I fully agree with that. I think it's very tricky. Again, it's United's prerogative to sell the tickets in this instance, but at the same time, usually there's a bit of an understanding between clubs of sort of mutual agreement that, yeah, we'll let you deal with how it's allocated. And again, football's one of these things where what goes around does come around. So I've absolutely no doubt in the future that we'll see situations. I can almost guarantee if Dundee United get to Hampden and they're talking about a 50-50 split, then their fans will be absolutely fuming if it's against the Old Firm and it doesn't happen. Or, you know, the away supports in the top flight getting messed about left, right and centre. But it gives us all the more reason to have that siege mentality going into the game. Obviously, we are going to cover this off in a lot more detail next week when we're back for that. But yeah, just overall, just a very surreal situation, and one that hopefully they can see the light and they can get the full allocation opened, because it just seems, as you say, cutting your nose off to spite yourself.
It's childish. It's like, come on, be the adults in the room here, people. It's childish.
To be fair, we're very good at doing that ourselves, but at the same time, we've never
making ours creative. It's like,
I think ours is more light-hearted.
Childish.
Yeah, ours is more light-hearted though, and I think that you've got to be a very specific type of person. Like, you're it was quite interesting to see after the last time that we played United, and the Jack Hamilton tweet that went out, the sliding into Sunday. Mm-hmm. And there's all these Dundee United fans giving it the Sir Alex Ferguson, he could have been killed treatment type for Jack Walton. I'm obviously exaggerating when I say that, but you know what I mean. They're just, you could have seriously injured the keeper. And yet their fans are singing about best friend of podcast and Dunfermline manager James McPaik getting injured and ending his career against them. So it's, football fans always find a way to be tailor arguments towards themselves, I find. And I don't think this is going to be any different. So, again, time will tell. And I think it's a very, very daft situation.
But see also with this crowd nonsense, I've just had a wee look to get the exact number again. There was 10,334 there in December. I'm already going to put on the line that there won't even be that at this game if this whole ticketing stuff doesn't get sorted out in the next week. Because Dundee United fans are saying that they're not even getting in because of their database nonsense. Like, if this is going to continue, I think you'll be lucky to hit 10,000. And that's pathetic, considering I think you could have got, you would have been touching 12 had it been just give their overs the shed and then Dundee United fans just sort yourselves out as you would. I think it would have been a little bit more than what it was in December, but it's just, I'll be shocked if it's more than 10-3, put it that way.
This could have been the biggest game to showcase Scottish football that weekend. It could have been, like, it would have been all over the media. You could have had a massive crowd, a massive atmosphere, and really sold the Scottish game. Because, in my opinion, the Championship's the best league in Europe at the moment. For entertainment, for it being close, you really could have shown off this. And it's, as you say, Scott, I don't think they're going to hit 10,000. I think that it's going to backfire them, because I think the 1,300 Rovers fans are going to make a lot more noise than their disgruntled fans.
Yeah, I mean, certainly for myself, I'm not usually the type to be singing and chatting at games, but if it's going on about me on that day, 100% I'll be getting involved. But I think it's, I mean, it raises the question, is that what Dundee United want? Is that what they're looking for to potentially reduce it down? Because, again, it's been touched on a few times before, and we might create a rod for our own back here saying this, certainly for me, but we've spoken on this podcast about Jim Goodwin's track record in big games and under in front of big crowds. And if there is that 12,000 crowd and you've got a raucous Rovers end and we take the lead, that puts a lot of pressure on him and the squad, who were, by all accounts, at that Dunfermline game. That away support for them turned very, very toxic going into that second half, simply because they weren't performing. So should create for a very, very interesting atmosphere. But even still, I think the only thing we can really do is focus on ourselves, and I'm interested to see what the club do to support fans, whether they're going to do another agreement in terms of the bus travel up to the game, if that's something that they're going to investigate and look at, because it was so successful last time, and to try and help the fans on their way. Time will tell, and a week's a long time in football, so we will just need to see what happens. So to round off the episode, how would we feel about a game of should Mixday or should Dargo?
I go on.
That sounds fantastic, absolutely.
Carol's unconvinced, but we'll see how we're doing.
As I say, I forget my own name, never mind okay. A squad player, so it will be...
Carol, I've got complete belief in you, okay? So, to start us off, of our first of six questions, simple premise, I read out six facts, and each round you can have a guess and change your answer, you can stick or twist, and we will see who can get it first, and we will keep an eye on this. So, firstly, you're definitely going to get this one. I am a centre-forward.
Oh, Christ. Not again.
I'm going to make a guess. I'm going to go for Marty Poplatnik.
Okay.
Callum Blythe punching the air in joy as I say that.
Of course he is. His beloved.
I'll go for the wee rat boy, Declan McManus.
Okay.
Louis Vaughan, just because it was his testimonial, and that was it. Stick to the theme.
A good start. We all went with strikers, at least.
2 seconds. This
would
is
it be
just
Murray
going
Ball
to take
that you went for a defender just because?
I did. You know what was funny? I turned around and said to people during Vaughan's testimonial when we brought on like about three attackers. I was like, "Are we going full Murray Ball in a testimonial now? Because that would be great to see." So it was McManus for. Second question. 24 appearances and 5 goals.
I've I feel like McManus maybe got a wee bit more than that.
I'm sticking with the Ljubljana Libero.
Oh, that's class.
I suppose I can go back to my answer if I go a new one.
Yeah. I would say so. Blair might be screaming.
He wouldn't play 24 games, actually. Nah, forget it. Nah, I'm going to stick one, although I do think he may have got more than 5 goals in that season.
Right. 2 seconds. So you're all sticking with the same answers? Or... Carol, did you change? Sorry. Even though we know that he's been.
No, even though we know it's John, I just think that I'm just going to keep seeing his name.
Louis testimonial.
Right. Yeah, testimonial. Right. Testimonial version.
Question 3. I've been on loan 8 times.
Has he been on loan that many times? 8's a lot.
Oh, goodness.
Who's constantly on loan?
Anyone want to jump in with an answer?
Sounds like
our Spotify listeners are concerned that we've all gone quiet.
I know, it's gone very quiet.
Sounds like it could be somebody who was at Chelsea at some point. I was going to say Timmy Abraham, but the fact that he has scored goals rules him out. I'm sticking with
24 games would say that he played most of the season as well. And a lot of the guys that I keep thinking about are like loan players that either played for January to the end of the season, or they kind of played a few sort of, I don't know, like just sort of cameo appearances, not 24 appearances.
So, have we got any changes to your answers?
No, I'll stick on, but I'm pretty sure he's not been unloaded than that many times.
I'm sticking with Poplatnik. It could still be him.
Question number 4, or statement number 4. I once featured in a match which went viral for being a commentary nightmare.
Is that question 4?
Question 4.
What's your definition of nightmare?
Just
what, like difficult names to pronounce, or?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Right. Nightmare. So, again, I'm very tempted just to stick with my same one because I think this could involve Kerala Blasters. Alternatively, it could be somebody that was at Arbroath and it could involve the Fermer. So I'm going to say it was a legendary game involving Kerala Blasters, and I'm still sticking with my initial answer.
Interesting.
I'm just thinking somebody we've had on loan that's also went on so many loans. But
yeah, it's the 8 loan because something. It must have been someone who's been a youth player then. Been first and gone out on loan when he's injured.
But I can't think it too.
Their many. Most recent loan was last season.
For goodness, is that your question 5?
No, it's not. I'm just adding that.
That's a bonus clue.
Would you like question 5?
I go with.
I signed for Raith Rovers from Livingston.
Right, it's definitely not Declan McManus.
Now, I'm now wavering a bit.
Part of me is like, have you gone really recent or like back to like before I even watched? I'm actually now starting to.
It's within your time.
Oh. part of me was thinking, if it's going to be really recent, Jack Hamilton popped in my head. But then I was like, has he scored more than five already this season?
Is that your answer?
Aye.
Any others? Any alternatives?
I was very close to switching to Ishma Gonsalves, but I think five goals is too many for that lard arse. So I'm still sticking with Matej Poplatnik.
Also 24 games.
Well, yeah. I'm happy to announce we have a winner, because clue number six is I slid into Sunday.
I'm not going to...
That's right. Please, the big dub, Jack Hamilton.
For a player that's playing the now, but then I was like, have we signed somebody for Livy in the 90s or something?
Yeah. So the answer about the commentary was that he featured in a match between, when he was at Arbroath, funnily enough, involving Fermor, he featured in a match where there was, I think there was four or five players in that Hamilton versus Arbroath game that had the surname Hamilton. So there was, like, I think there was the left back,
Colin Hamilton,
Chris Hamilton,
Jack
Hamilton, and there was at least one or two others. There was one boy for Aki's that was called Hamilton as well, I'm sure. Jamie Hamilton, I think, maybe, or something like that. So, Scott, congratulations. You have picked up the...
Somehow, I still can't believe he's had eight loan deals. Sorry.
He's been here, there, and everywhere. He's been like...
Pennycook Athletics, I've just pulled up his Wikipedia page. Pennycook, Berwick, Alloa, Queen of the South, East Fife, Arbroath, Hartlepool, and then Raith Rovers.
Yep.
I don't know why I thought that he'd... I thought he'd scored more than five, so that was also why I was like tentative with even going.
I may be very, very off with that, because I've used like Transfer Market and I've used like soccer stats.
To be fair, I've just checked flash scores and it says 5 and 24, so it seems to be pretty straightforward.
Thank God for that. Anyway, that will round off tonight's episode. A very mixed bag of an episode, really. The highs speak about Lewis Vaughan, Dundee United, just in our Nigerian slang. Doing a Dundee United. I think that should just get integrated into UK society as well, to be fair. And that most recent McStay and Dargo quiz. So thank you for taking the time to listen to this evening's episode. There won't be an episode this weekend because, of course, we have no game. We've got nothing to talk about. I'm sure we could find things to talk about if we needed to, but we'll give ourselves a wee break and we will get all geared up for next week. Please like us through the socials. You can find us there on Twitter. We've got the Etsy shop, which is run in the capable hands of Blair. Carol's in charge at Instagram, so make sure that you give that a like as well. If you can, subscribe on YouTube as well and share the videos to your friends, your colleagues, just anyone that's interested in Raith Rovers or indeed Scottish football, because it does make a big difference. But thank you to everyone, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again next week when hopefully Dundee United relent under the pressure and give us that full shed that we absolutely deserve. And thanks for listening.